The word of God given to us today is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. The words are found in page 313 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Last February, a giant fat bass called the Fish of the Legend was caught in the sea off Jeju Island at a depth of 400 to 500 meters. It got caught on a fishing rod while people were fishing for red sea bream. The fish was 183 centimeters long and weighed 140 kilograms. It took an hour just to pull it up to the surface of the water, and it was too big to lift with a net, so they barely managed to get it onto the boat with the help of another fishing boat and a hook. Normally, fat bass live in deep waters, over 400 to 500 meters deep in rocky areas. But between May and July, they come up to about 50 to 60 meters deep to spawn, and sometimes they get caught in nets. So catching a fat bass in February was very unusual. Of course, fat bass are considered one of the best fish for sashimi. Even though the fat bass lives at depth of 400 to 500 meters, that's not the deepest part of the sea. There are places in the ocean where the fat bass lives, there are places that are 10 or 20 times deeper than that. The tallest mountain in the world is Mount Everest, the highest peak in the Himalayas, at 8,848 meters. But the deepest part of the world is the Mariana Trench, located southeast of Japan and east of Philippines, which is about 11,000 meters deep. If you drop Mount Everest into the Mariana Trench, its peak would not be visible. You would have to go more than 2,000 meters deeper to start seeing its top. Now, climbing to the top of Mount Everest is not easy, but many people have done it. According to statistics, as of 2022, there have been more than 10,000 climbs to the summit, and over 6,000 people have reached the top. The people who carry loads and guide the way for climbers is the Himalayas are called Sherpas. Among them, dozens have climbed to the summit more than 10 times. Seven people have climbed more than 20 times. And the Sherpa with the most climbs is named Kami Rita, who has reached the summit no less than 31 times. But very few people have gone deeper than 10,000 meters into the sea. The deepest recorded dive so far is 10,927 meters. And we still don't know if that's truly the deepest spot in the ocean. Some people even say that exploring the deep sea, like the Mariana Trench, is harder than space exploration. That's because the pressure in the ocean is incredibly strong. If we say the air pressure on land is 1, the pressure increases by 1 atmosphere every 10 meters underwater. And water is 1,300 times heavier than air, they say. So if someone were to dive 200 meters deep without equipment, the water pressure would feel like placing a car on our thumbnail. That's how strong the pressure is. Also, why you can still see to some extent at 100 meters underwater, it gets darker the deeper you go. By the time you reach 250 meters, everything turns black. It's complete darkness because you can't see what's ahead. Accidents like collisions can happen. That's one reason deep sea exploration is so difficult. So does that mean that no living things can survive in the hundreds or thousands of meters under the sea? Not at all. There are many kinds of sea creatures living down there, including many kinds of fish. Exactly what kind of creatures and how many are living there? That's still beyond us humans to know. Now, would you think that fish living in those deep places have scales thicker than steel? Have scales that are tons of centimeters thicker than others to withstand the pressure? But not so. Deep sea fish have different body structures compared to fish that live in shallow waters. It is said that they have bodies full of oil and moisture that doesn't compress easily, helping them to withstand such high pressure. So the reason deep sea fish can survive such extreme pressure is not because of their strong outer scales, but because of the oil and moisture inside their bodies. If we were to apply this to our lives, we could say that it's good and important to take care of our outward appearance or our resumes, but it's even more necessary, far more important, to take care of our inner self. That's because in life, sometimes we live in shallow waters or near the shore, but at other times, we must go through deep waters with pressure like 400 to 500 meters strong under the sea. And once or twice in life, we may find ourselves in situations where the pressure is like being thousands of meters underwater, and we have to endure and endure some more. In today's Bible passage, Paul shows us how important our inner self is through his prayer. Let's go to our text for today, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives his name. After the people of Judah returned from Babylonian exile, they rebuilt the temple. But even after that, Jerusalem remained in ruins for a long time. The city walls were left broken down. The gates were burned. So no one wanted to live there. The person who rebuilt these walls was Nehemiah. The last line of the book of Nehemiah says this: "Remember me with favor, my God." In the Bible, the phrase "remember me" is often a form of a desperate prayer. This line appears many times in the Psalms. And one of the two criminals who was crucified with Jesus also said these words to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." If the words of a desperate prayer are "remember me," then the posture of a desperate prayer is kneeling. When King Solomon finished building the temple and held the dedication ceremony, he knelt. The prophet Elijah also knelt when he challenged the 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel to show whose God is real. And Jesus himself also prayed in this posture before he went to the cross. This is from Luke chapter 22, verse 41. "He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed." After finishing the Last Supper with his disciples, Jesus went to Gethsemane with them. He took Peter, James, and John a little further with him and said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Then he went on alone and knelt down to pray. Jesus prayed, "May this cup be taken from me." In other words, he hoped salvation could come another way, not through the suffering on the cross, but he earnestly wanted God the Father's will to be done through him. This desire was shown by him kneeling. In today's passage too, Paul also says he's kneeling in prayer. The specific content of his prayer is found in verse 16 of today's text. "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." The first thing Paul prays for the church in Ephesus is for their inner being to be strengthened. To be strengthened is the opposite of what is said in verse 13, "Do not be discouraged because of my sufferings." There is a good Bible verse that explains our inner self as well. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Our outer self, our body, grows old over time, just like a new piece of clothing becomes worn the more you wear it. Buildings, cars, and home appliances are all the same. Things you can see will always wear out with use." Our life as we get older is the same. Our heart is young. We say that age is just merely just a number. But as we get older, the outer person ages. If you don't know this truth, or if you know it but just cannot accept it, you will become discouraged. But Paul says that even though our outer self gets old, our inner self is renewed day by day. The important word here is day by day. Our inner self is not renewed just once or for just one day. It is renewed every day again and again. That's why, for Christians, growing older is something to be proud of. It's like receiving a reward. If you only look at your outer self, getting older may feel discouraging. But if you see the inner self that is being renewed and in truth and eternal life, growing older becomes something to boast about. There is another verse that clearly shows what it means to be strengthened with power in inner being. This is from Luke chapter 1, verse 80. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Now here, the child is referring to John the Baptist. His parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, were a priestly couple who were faithful before God, but they had no children. God sent the angel Gabriel to tell them that they would have a child, and even gave them his name, John. But Zechariah, even though he was a priest, didn't fully believe the angel's prophecy, so he was unable to speak for 9 months. After John was born at last, Zechariah's speech returned, and he praised God. The Bible tells us a lot about John's birth, who was the one to prepare the way for Jesus. So we might expect several chapters about how he grew up and got ready for his ministry. Maybe several chapters to explain how all this happened. But the Bible summarizes the 30 years from John's childhood to when he started his public ministry in just one verse. It may seems to us way too short, maybe, but there is no better summary of John's life. That one sentence clearly shows how he lived for 30 years. John's spirit, his inner being, grew until he was 30. In other words, until he started his mission to prepare the way for Jesus in earnest. Without growing whole and strong inside, he would not have been able to baptize Jesus or carry out the work described in the Gospels. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." When we face an important task, but our heart, our inner self, is not well, and we're distracted or crushed by fear and worry, even if we're physically strong and healthy, it will be hard for us to accomplish that task. Now, physical health is, of course, very important, but if the heart is not healthy, physical strength can even become a dangerous weapon that harms both ourselves and others. Domestic violence, school violence, all kinds of violence happen when the heart, the inner self, is not healthy. That's why we must always pay close attention to the condition of our inner being. Along with Muhammad Ali, one of the most iconic boxers is probably Mike Tyson. If you watch his matches from the time he debuted in 1985 and how he won 37 straight fights, you will see that he was extremely fearsome. Sometimes you could even see the fear on the faces of his opponents. They look like they didn't know what to do. One of Tyson's most famous sayings is this: "Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth." Actually, Tyson committed robberies and was violent even from a young age. He was introduced to boxing while in a juvenile detention center. Although he's famous as a boxer, most people remember him for his wild behavior, especially the incident that shocked people the most was when he bit his opponent's ear during a match because the fight wasn't going his way. Tyson had a mentor named Cus D'Amato. He not only taught Tyson how to box while he was in a youth detention center, but also took him into his home after his release and taught him how to read and behave properly. He actually even adopted Tyson as his own son. Tyson's life began to fall apart after D'Amato passed away. Tyson was so heartbroken over his death that he even said he wanted to follow him in death. Tyson became the youngest world heavyweight champion at age 20. And there's no doubt that he left one of the strongest impressions in the history of heavyweight boxing. But on one of his podcasts, which he hosts himself, he once confessed, "I always cried before fights. That's who I am." Tyson had an outward self that was second to none in the world. So we would expect him to have said things like, "I can beat anyone. I am stronger than anyone." Or, "I've never cried except as a baby." But instead, he said, "I always cried before fights. That's who I am." That was because his inner self was not strong. And that's not just Tyson's story. It's true for all of us. If your inner self is not strong, then no matter how strong you look on the outside, no matter how much you have, or high your position is, your life can easily collapse. Let's read today's text again. "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being." Why did Paul, kneeling in a Roman prison, pray first and foremost that the Holy Spirit would strengthen the inner beings of the members of the Ephesian church? Was it because you can't be saved unless your inner self is strong? Or is it because the stronger your inner self is, the more of God's blessings will come, both spiritual and worldly? Let's consider three reasons why our inner self must be strong. The first reason why the inner self has to be strong is because all Christians start with the weak inner self, like spiritual infants. Every adult in the world started out as a newborn baby. No one is born as an adult. Even people called great scholars, who has knowledge far beyond others, all started out as babies and slowly matured and grew into their positions. Now, all babies are cute. Even wild animals like tigers and lions are adorable when they're first born. But newborn babies cannot do anything by themselves. If they don't grow, they will need help from others for their whole life. But the more they grow, the better they can live independently and even serve others. It's the same thing for spiritual growth. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. Brothers and sisters, I cannot address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. The Corinthian church received far more spiritual gifts from God than most other churches. Yet, their faith was still immature, like that of children. One big difference between children and adults is that children often think what they can see is everything. When a dad wrestles with his little son, he lifts him up and then lets him fall first. The son thinks that he beat his dad and raises his hands in victory. Or when the dad plays soccer with his two or three sons, the kids always win 5-4 or 7-6. Then the kids think they're better at soccer than their dad. They only see what's on the surface and don't realize their dad is letting them win. The same goes for spiritual life. When we're spiritually weak or immature, we focus only on the surface when reading God's word. Now, we do that because we need to understand what the literal content is saying. But as we grow deeper in words, we begin to think about the meaning between the lines. And so this is true for prayer too. As spiritual children, the most important thing is getting an answer from God and think about how many of our prayers were answered. But as our inner being grows stronger, we begin to think about the meaning behind prayers. Now, why am I praying this prayer? Why didn't God answer this prayer the way I wanted? If God answered just as I asked, what kind of life is He calling me to live now? The second reason why the inner beings have to be strong. The second reason is because the devil tries to bring us down. Whether we're aware of it or not, we're beings that have to fight a spiritual battle. It is said that the devil's greatest strategy is to hide his existence from us. This is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 9. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. The devil is always opposing us. If that were not true, there would be no need for our inner being to grow strong. The devil's target is not our outer self, it's our inner self. To destroy our inner self, he tempts us to chase after desires and waste our lives. Or he tries to make us focus only on gaining wealth, to trap us in worldly values, and to blind us with power so that we forget the Lord, who is the highest. Lastly, the third reason why we have to have our inner beings be strong is because the stronger our inner self becomes, the better a vessel we become for God's work. God leads this world according to His will, and most of the time, He works through people. The people who become useful and faithful vessels in His work are those with strong inner beings. This is from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Newborn babies think only breast milk or formula for a while. Then after they grow a little, they start to eat baby food. And after growing more, they eat solid food. In the same way, our inner being is supposed to grow. People in the world usually pour all their energies into making their outward selves look strong and impressive. So they try to have more things, gain more knowledge, and rush around from morning to night to get to sit in bigger or higher chairs. They try to prove how strong they are by doing so, but they rarely are even conscious about how important it is to strengthen their inner self. Today, South Korea has grown incredibly in terms of the economy compared to the past. Sometimes I remember a part of the house I lived in before I even entered elementary school, we had drilled a hole through the wall to let one fluorescent light shine in two rooms. This was not only true for my home, but for many homes did the same. Korea is said to be the only country in the world that went from receiving aid from other nations to becoming a country that gives aid. Of course, many people still struggle financially, but at least looking from outside, the nation has grown very fast. However, inwardly, South Korea is seriously weak. Most of the problems in politics, economy, society, culture, education, and national defense that are in the news happen because of this weak inner foundation. This year marks the 140th anniversary since the missionary couples Appenzeller and Underwood set foot in Tamarpo Port. No other nation has achieved as much as the Korean church has in just 140 years of mission history. The outward side of Korean Christianity has shown bursting growth, but the inner being of the Korean church is awfully weak. God does not delight in someone because they look good, smart, or have many abilities. Even if the person who looks great outside do not really have the strength to withstand the attacks of the devil. Let us all kneel in prayer so that we may run toward that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us, and so that our inner being may become stronger. When we kneel and our inner being is made strong, we can meet God the Father, the one who gives names to every family in heaven and on earth, and we can live as His vessels. Only when we kneel and our inner beings grow strong can we resist the values of this world, become the salt that keeps this tasteless, rotting world from decaying, and be the light that drives out darkness. And most of all, only when we kneel and our inner being is strengthened can our limited lives be transformed into something of eternal value. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we believe that you are the Father who gives names to every family in heaven and on earth. We are touched by the image of Apostle Paul, who, even though he was in prison in Rome, knelt down in prayer for the inner strength of the Ephesian church. But we confess that we are people who do not kneel before you easily. We try to look like Christians in church, but we confess that in our homes, workplaces, and schools, we often lived according to worldly values. Now, once again, we refocus our hearts and our eyes on you, Lord. Help us not to forget that we all started as spiritually weak children, that the devil schemes to bring us down, and that only by strengthening our inner beings can we live as your faithful vessels. Sometimes our lives may feel like living in shallow waters or on the shore, but at other times it may feel like we're living in the deep sea where the fat bass dwells, burdened with many pressures, both big and small. There are also times when we must endure life as if we were thousands of meters under the sea. Help our inner beings to become strong so that we can overcome every part of that journey. May our relationship with you grow deeper each day through kneeling before you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.